Father, we just give you a fresh shout offering. We thank you, Lord. You're good, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You're good, Lord. You're worthy, Father. You're worthy, Lord. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you. We've got some amazing updates from Brazil already. It's just been a couple days there. First, I'd like to just mention that we have some guests from Brazil here as well. My aunt, Mary, right there, she's waving. So my Aunt Mary has lived in Brazil since 1981. She's been serving in a children's home there as director, administrator, all sorts of things, and also adopted five kids of her own, and so many hundreds of grandchildren that have no idea how many hundreds, many, many grandchildren. But just wanted to welcome you, Aunt Mary. And then my cousin Todd and Nicholas right here in the front are here from Brazil. They're loving the snow. They don't get snow in Brazil, but they have been enjoying the snow. Gosta de neve? Yes, he does. So can I sit you down, big guy? He's heavier than he looks. Well, no, he's as heavy as he looks. All right, big jump. All right. And then if anyone wants to know a little bit more about my aunt, has been working with Canaan Land Ministries for the last 36 years, as I said. There's a couple of pictures if you want to pray for them. This is my aunt and her family and some information, and then also a little bit about CLM and stuff and the ministry there. So they're in the foyer. I needed to get a drink of water before I started this. And then, excuse me, I'm going to cry. Getting choked up. So from Brazil, hot off the press, we have some pictures. So they got there. Oh, thank you so much. There's Pastor Bill with Pastor Joseo in Sao Paulo. They flew in. They arrived on Friday morning, dropped off their bags, and went to City of God, to the community there. And went to the room that we raised the money to purchase, and that's it right there. That's the back side of it. Well, I guess it's kind of the front side, but for us, it's the back side. If we can go to the next picture. And then this is Elvis. Elvis apparently is the one who owns the room and is selling to us. So if anyone's wondering where Elvis is, he's in Brazil. And I have good news for you. After selling the property or in the middle of it, Elvis accepted Jesus. So praise the Lord for that. So Elvis is now going to heaven. So this, again, is Elvis, and this is in the building, which, again, is attached. The next picture should show that a little bit better. So this is our room here on the right, Frontline Ministries International Centro do Oração. I helped paint that lovely blue door. The slightly more intricate painting was done by others. But just behind them, that's the room that we're buying. So it'll double the size of the room, which will still be crammed, but at least we can get more of us in. And again, this is the back alley. I think there's another picture. There's some of our friends with the cello and the guitars that we've taken, and then Pastor Bill right there. So Melchizedek and Amanda and Joe. And then hopefully the sound will come through. They were having worship yesterday at the Children's Center, or at the Worship Center. And here's just a snip of that.
Thank you.
course, we painted all that last year, as you guys know. Pastor Jerseo. So they had a time of worship, which is a part of what they do on Saturdays. And then right afterwards, our friend Bia there, if you remember Bia, she went through a time of just inner healing and freedom. I said it was really awesome just after the worship. So, and then I think, is there one more picture or was that it, Carly? I think that was it for now. So they are currently ministering, I think, in a couple different churches this morning and this evening, I'm pretty sure. So if you want to just keep them in prayer and exciting time. So we have a building. So as we're going there, I think they're going to be tearing down the wall between our two rooms so we can expand that. And there may be some painting in our future again, Brazil team. So you artistic ones and those of you who don't know that you're artistic, rise up. So, all right, Lawrence.
Amen. Well, before I dismiss the kids in the kingdom land, we had a Tuesday night, we sent the pastors away to Brazil. Thank you so much, sir. And there was a bit of a commissioning time there that most of the team was able to be a part of. Some of you guys were not. And so I'm going to invite the Brazil team to come up real quick, and we're going to do another mini commissioning before the team heads out. You guys, when do you guys fly out?
Sunday.
A week from today?
6:30
So you're not coming to church. Is that my understanding? You won't be coming to church? Okay. Unless everybody, you guys want to have church at 4 a.m. next week to make sure that they can make it?
We're meeting at 2:30 if you want to come pray with us.
Okay.
2:30 a.m.
2:30 in the morning is your invitation to come here and pray for the team. If you're not interested in doing that, we can do it right now. So this is a pretty exciting team, as evidenced by the fact that they already cannot stand up here. It's going to be very interesting. It's dark. And they are the light. Thank you. Well, we already did have a kind of a commissioning before the pastors left, but since not everybody was there, and I do have something specifically that was on my heart to pray, I had an opportunity to pray with Troy and Rachel and my wife last night on the phone about some things involving Brazil. And as I was praying, the Lord spoke to me about something specific involving this new building that we just bought. And you guys got an opportunity to see it. Many of you guys have been invited to sow into that. And I know the size of the building itself is not big. We're fortunate enough to have 22 acres in Ghana, and there's more land in Mozambique. This is kind of a small plot. But what I really felt was being established was in the natural and the physical, it's expanding. And what I saw in the spirit as we were praying is not only in the physical, but we're establishing dominion in that area from a spiritual perspective. So it was more than just getting a little bit more of a building. What it was really kind of declaring in the spirit, this is a place where the Lord has called us to have authority and to step into that. And so as we were praying last night, what I saw was a tent peg being driven into the ground and representing that expansion of the land. I saw that tent peg getting bigger. And so it was a very large tent peg that everybody was a part of just hammering into the ground. But as they were hammering it into the ground, I saw a wellspring of water come exploding out of the ground. And what I really believe the Lord is saying for this team and for Frontline as a whole is that we are called to be people who create and dig wells of revival and wells of God's presence. So if I can have everybody just extend your hands to the team, we're going to pray for them right now. And Lord, we just thank you so much, Father, for your promises and for your truth. Father, we thank you for this team, Lord, that has been called and anointed, that you've opened the door for Brazil, Father God, and we thank you, Lord, that we are seeing and hearing testimonies already, Father God, of expansion, Lord, and where you've placed the anointing on their heads, on their hearts, Father God, to step into Brazil and to see signs, wonders, and miracles. We as a body stand in full agreement, Father God, for everything that you want to do, Lord, that there would be wells of revival, Lord, wells of revival, an explosion of your presence, Father God. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that as they step into those things, Father God, that they would see signs,
wonders and miracles, Lord, that they would see your presence being released, Father God. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we just believe that they will walk in the supernatural healing. They will walk in supernatural power, Father. And in the name of Jesus, they would experience everything that they were created to do in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Well, go forth. Make disciples of nations and get out of here. Bless you guys. And Carly. Carly. It was a short prayer. Come here. You couldn't have. Everybody's hands were stretched this way. So it was impossible. Bless Carly too. Father, we believe everything that you have anointed her for. How many trips? You go on like what, 5 a year?
Not usually 5.
Close. How many are there a year? That's roughly how many she goes on. Okay, 3 last year. So, Father, we just bless Carly as well. We thank you for her life. And, Father, we just pray in Jesus' name, signs, wonders, miracles, and a hedge of protection in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen. So I do have a couple quick announcements. This week, we do have some of our campus outreaches starting back up. So Wednesday, we'll have Mount Union. When does Malone start? This Wednesday also. So Wednesday, Malone also starts. Thursday, we have Impact at Jackson High School. Friday evening, we have our Lighthouse Prayer here. We are changing the time for that. So it's now going to be 6 o'clock to 7:30 p.m., the third Friday of every month, just a time to join together for corporate prayer. All are welcome to join us for that. And on Saturday, we are having our Edge for young adults also. So that's high school, college, those of us that are a bit above that. You're all welcome to come. 6 o'clock, we have a coffee house with games and food. Then 7 to 9, we have worship and a message. It's a lot of fun. Please, any young adults that you know, invite them to come. We'd love to have them. And then some exciting things coming up in February. Ben Adkinson will be coming to visit us again. Yes, Friday, February 9th to Sunday, February 11th. He will be here starting Friday night. The times of the exact services will be announced yet to come. But Ben Adkinson is the author of Holy Clubs, which we've been able to use a lot here in this house and also on our campuses. Just really good way to dive into the holiness of God in a small group setting. And he's also a really powerful prophetic voice. He's also just really exciting and excited about Jesus and all that God's doing. So I highly encourage you to mark your calendars, plan to be here for that that weekend. And finally, I wasn't able to get a graphic for it, but on Saturday, February 24th, we have our annual Freedom Cry anti-human trafficking event. So that will be here from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'll have speakers from a lot of different areas all coming in for that. Lots of, in the past, we've had people come from the prosecutor's office, the police department. We've had trafficking survivors come in. So it's a really amazing time to just be able to come and learn more about what is going on as far as trafficking in our region, in our nation, and really in the world, and what we can do to stop that. So that's, again, Saturday, February 24th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Thank you. If you didn't memorize all of that as I was saying it, we do have these lovely bulletins in the foyer. If you didn't get one when you came in, it's all in here.
Amen. If you didn't memorize it, you're just not trying. All right, Kingdom Kids. Go, run. Thank you, Lord. Man, it gets a lot more quiet when the kids get out. That's
Maybe we should all just sit and take a nap. That sounds nice.
No.
Well, Lord, we bless me. Anoint these words. Do something wonderful with them. Release your fire, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we are excited about what you want to do. Lord, we are looking to encounter you. We are looking to engage with you, Father. We know that without your presence, there's no point in doing anything else. Father, we can get up, we can have a good message, we can have good worship, Lord, but if we're not engaging with your presence, it falls short of what it's intended to do. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just continue to come and pour out your presence over this place. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. I am super excited about today. I had a dream from God last night. And I know it was the Lord. I was skiing. So good. That was the whole dream. Nothing else to it. I was just skiing. I love it. I get so excited about that. Oh, all right. So how many of you guys, and I know some of you are not, how many, raise your hand if you've never heard the donut story. Okay, if you've never heard the donut story, wow, a lot of people have not heard the donut story. Okay, a few people are like, oh, I've heard this story 100 times. All right, this is donut 2.0, all right? For the Brazil team, you guys heard me share a little bit about this. It's not going to be the exact same message, so bear with me for a few minutes. So, a few years ago, I had an encounter with the Lord that I call, commonly referred to as the donut story. It was during the that's something completely different. God loves you, God likes me. God likes me. He does love you, but this was called the God likes me. And it was during the GG9 event, and what it was was, it was a ministry where we were at the Rubber Bowl in Akron, and there was 24-hour worship going on, and at the same time, we were sending teams out. There were teams being sent out to minister to people in Akron and Cleveland during the games. And I had an encounter. I'm going to shorten it up quite a bit, but if you're ever interested in hearing a little bit more about it, I can always talk about it. So I was at the Rubber Bowl during a time of worship, and we had our kids there. They absolutely loved it. They just, because, you know, I mean, that's we should build churches like that. It should be a big open field where they can run anywhere, and you don't have to worry about what's happening until they get into the broken glass in the rafters. So maybe leave that part out. But we were at the Rubber Bowl during the prayer time, and we just really kind of engaged in the ministry opportunities that the Lord had opened up. And I noticed that as I was stretching myself, as I was stepping out of my comfort zone and going into downtown Akron and downtown Cleveland, this is where I met Ben Atkinson, all right? So I was on a team that actually drove him to Cleveland, and the man's crazy. If you get an opportunity to come in February, I strongly encourage it. But I noticed that as I was stepping out and stretching myself a lot, because it was not my natural comfort zone to be out talking to people, period, I noticed that my heart started to get like more and more engaged in the worship time as well, which was happening at the Rubber Bowl. So there was one evening, my precious, wonderful, gracious wife allowed me to, we were there in the evening, we took the kids home, and then she let me actually go back for worship. And so I went back, and there was a group who was leading worship, the Lovejoys, if you've heard of them. Yeah, not the Simpsons characters. These are actual people. They love the Lord. Awesome ministry. I think they've been here at one point during one of our incense, fire and incense, 100 hours, 24/7 things. And so they were leading worship. I'd never really heard them before. And it was good worship, but there was something about the position that my heart was in that evening that just lined up with heaven and just led me to an encounter that to this day I still tear up when I think about it. So I was absolutely just blown away by the presence of the Lord. And as I left that place that night, it was very late at night, and I pulled out of the rubber bowl, and I was just in this, like, dazed, like, what just happened? Like, this, I mean, my face was like, I can't believe what happened. And for no reason that I can explain at all, I pulled out of the rubber bowl, and there was a Dunkin' Donuts there. So I was like, a donut makes sense to me right now. I don't know why. I hadn't had a donut in like a year or two before that. And so I walked in, and this poor lady, like, I was just kind of like, donut? And there weren't that many options left, so I got a powdered donut. And the whole time I'm driving home, I'm like eating the donut, but I'm still in this like, what is going on? The Lord, so what happened? And so I got home, and it was like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and we must have had people coming over the next day because my wife was still up. I think she was like cleaning the kitchen or something, because we have four little kids, so you have to clean between like 10 p.m. and 3 a.m., and it lasts until they wake up. So I walk in the door, and she's still up, and I have this look on my face of like, I walk in, and she looks at me, and she goes, "Baby, are you okay?" I go, I don't know what happened. And that's the only thing that I could get out of my mouth is, I don't know what happened. And she starts to get a little worried. And she's a godly woman, so her trust is in the Lord, so she didn't, like, outright freak out. But apparently, as I was driving home eating the powdered donut, it had fallen on my shirt. So I walked into the house with white powder all over my shirt and this look of, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. So she starts freaking out a little bit, and then all of a sudden I just go, the Lord, just Jesus, and I start like crying. She like there like I'm like this puddle, and she's like, oh, thank God. Like this big relief comes over. She's all like, okay, it's all right. It's just something that he can't handle with the Lord. So that's the summary of my donut story. So donut 2.0, which I shared with the Brazil mission team at the training weekend, and I didn't even realize it was a donut story until I was sharing it. I was here during the 100 hours of prayer on, it was Thursday morning. Andy and I were here and praying, and as us spiritual people do. And I left here to go home because the kids were off school. And if you have kids, like, you know, they haven't had school since 2017. I mean, with the snow, the weather, the ice, like, they're just not going to school. It's gotten to the point where my kids are actually frustrated, which is super weird. Like, Eliana cried when I said that she didn't have school on Friday. That was, I just give glory to God for that. And so it was Thursday morning. The kids had gotten called off school, and I still had to go to work. And my in-laws were in town, Jesus and Krista. Many of you guys know them. And so I was going to ask Krista to watch the kids for a few hours unexpectedly. So what do you do naturally when you're going to ask for a favor? You get some type of blessing for them. So as I'm leaving, I stopped at Peace, Love, and Donuts on 241. So I've eaten their donuts. I'd never been there, but I was a little tight on time. And I pulled in. I was like, I'll just get a dozen donuts for her and the kids and all that. And so I walk in, and apparently they make the donuts right there. Like, they're not, it's not like Dunkin' Donuts where you just grab it off the shelf and you put it in. He goes, well, what do you want? I go, this, 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 and this. And I'm thinking, like, he's going to reach back and put, like, he goes, okay, just dip it. Sprinkle, lay it down. I was like, oh man, like, I'm kind of tight on time, but I'm trying to be really nice. And so finally we get the donuts. I thank him. I rush out and I get in my car, and this worship song starts playing, and four words, it's at the end of this worship song where I think it was a Bethel group singing it, and you know how prophetic people do. Like, they can't just sing the song. There's this rift that takes like 30 to 40 minutes of like an add-on to the song. And so we were at that part of the song, and so they were just kind of singing out random words. And I seriously, I'm in my car, and I'm thinking, like, I'm kind of rushed, I'm running late, and I turn the car on, and the worship song's on, and there's this four words that were declared. It says, watch, she sings out, she says, watch what he does. And the moment I heard that, like, my spirit exploded inside of me, and I couldn't stop saying it. I started declaring it. I was like, like, watch what he does. Watch what he does. And then I'm not even out of the parking lot, and I start seeing the words, like, in front of me. I'm like, and I feel like I'm trying to, like, catch them and read them and declare them at the same time. It was fun. It was cool. But anybody that had to be next to me had to be very concerned. I don't know what it is about me encountering God through donuts that causes other people watching to get very nervous. But there's something about it. So I'm in the car, and I was just like, watch what he does. Watch. I was like, watch what he does. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, watch what he does. And I'm driving, and then I told the Brazil team about this. I said, and then I put, like, my own twist on it, like a Lawrence little, try to get, you know, some people think I can be dramatic at times. So I kind of put this little twist on me, on the words, and I just said, watch what I do, as if it was the Lord declaring, watch what I do. And instantly I knew it was wrong, which was really odd to me, because I was like, it's the same point, it's the same principle. And then the Lord started speaking to me. I went back to declaring, watch what he does. And then he started showing me what he meant by that, the difference between watch what I do and watch what he does. And what he spoke to my heart about was this idea that it wasn't a declaration necessarily for him to speak to me, but a declaration for me as a son or as a daughter of Christ to be able to declare to the world. That as sons and daughters, we have a specific place, an inheritance and a calling and anointing to be able to declare to the world who doesn't know him, watch what he does. And so I started feeling this empowerment from God to be able to step into this place of faith and expectation where we're declaring to people who don't know him. Because a lot of times there's a hesitation. We get into this place where we're in church and we're really good. We're in our homes with our family members who, you know, myself, I'm very fortunate. I'm surrounded by a mother and siblings who love the Lord. So anytime we get together, it's very encouraging, and you can feel very bold in those moments. But what I really believe the Lord is saying is that he wants to draw us into an encounter with him so that we're able to declare to the world without hesitation, without fear, watch what he does. Because how many of you guys know that the moment we do that, we've kind of pushed ourselves into a place of being extremely vulnerable? There's an aspect or a feeling of almost like this liability or this fear that rises up. If I'm going to be bold enough to declare to the world, to people who don't know Jesus, who don't have a relationship with him, watch what he does. Well, he better show up, because then I look like the fool. But what the Lord was showing me is that we were created to be these people who can be that bold. Because ultimately, it's not us who are responsible. It's our responsibility to be obedient to the Lord. And he's the one that says he'll show up. So if you guys, let's go to Exodus 33. I want to look at a couple of scriptures and examples, and then we're going to jump a little bit. So Exodus 33 is an account with, some of you guys might be pretty familiar with it. It's an account of Moses, and not Moses. No, it is Moses, sorry. I was picturing Noah. It's Moses. Exodus 33, starting in verse 7. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I don't know if we have that available on the screen. Okay, walk with me. Just pay very close attention and listen. Starting in verse 7, it says, "It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside of the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down." Echo. You guys with me? Kind of losing myself here. As he went into the tent, the pillar of the cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. So we're pretty familiar with this idea, and we see it kind of repeat itself several times, is that Moses, as he's leading the Israelites, he's called up by God up into the mountain, into the tent of meeting, into these encounters where he's experiencing God face to face, where the Lord invites him up. How many of you guys know that God initially, he invited all of them up? There was a place where God made a place for all of the Israelites to be able to encounter him face to face as Moses did. But because of their fear and because of their lack of understanding of the Father's heart, they stayed back. They weren't willing to engage as closely as Moses was. So there were these several accounts where Moses would engage, as it says here, face to face with God, but the Israelites would stand back as observers. And I thought it was really interesting, and this is what the Lord spoke to me about this, is that the account, and I'm familiar with this account because a lot of times we look at the last verse that I read where it talks about Joshua, because I love that. It says Moses was in the tent speaking to God face to face, but when he left the tent, Joshua remained. Joshua stayed in that tent, in that place, in the presence of God. But something that I've always kind of glazed over that I never really recognized is what the Israelites were doing. This wasn't like three or four tents where people were just kind of... how many of you guys have been to overseas with us before? Raise your hand if you've been overseas. So you know how we set up our tents in the camp. There's like three or four tents depending on how many people are on the team and stuff like that. This was a whole nation. This wasn't just one or two tents. This had to be many, many, many tents of people observing. And what would happen was... When Moses went to the tent of meeting and encountered God, all the people would stand at their doorway. And they would observe, they would watch the encounter. And what the Lord spoke to me, it says when the presence and the cloud came down, what would happen is all the people fell to their face, but they wouldn't go any further. They stayed in the doorway, in the entrance of their own tents. And what the Lord spoke to me was this idea is that we can be amazed and in awe of God and not encounter him. Is that there are times where we are presented with the opportunity to experience his presence. And yet, because of our fear, because of our concerns, because of whatever it might be, a stronghold, a lie, there's something that causes us to step back from engaging with the Lord. And being able to step into the presence like Moses did. And I believe, this is my personal, this is not like hard theology. Here's what I personally think, or at least the way the Lord has used this to speak to me, is that Joshua is actually a foreshadow of what we were intended to be. The people who never leave the presence of God. Because under the new covenant, the presence of God lives inside of us. When we ask Holy Spirit to save us, he dwells inside of us. So it's just like Joshua, and it's that same type of encounter that Moses had face to face. But where are we in our own lives? Are we fully engaged in God's presence, or are we standing in the doorway of our tent? Are we staying? I guess the question is, are we holding back from engaging fully with what God intended us to do, which is to be able to boldly declare to the world, watch what he does? So turn with me to Hebrews. We're going to jump all the way over to Hebrews. See, it's really good until it gets a little convicting. So in Hebrews 4, are we good? You guys okay with this, or do you need me to move to the other mic? Is there a preference? Okay, we're... other mic, got it. That's fine. Is that better? There we go. The one time I set this thing up properly. It's like that trick where you pull the scarves out of the hat. There it is.
So in Hebrews 4, starting in verse 13, it says, nothing in all of creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. I love that invitation to let us boldly go before the throne room of grace. And it's very easy. I do this a lot. Maybe you don't. You guys are probably a little bit more thorough than I am on this. I love to focus on those very encouraging verses. And I sometimes skip over the things that are the precursor to those. Does anybody else do that? I'm a man alone. That's fine. I don't believe you, but that's fine. Verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. I know we understand this in thinking, and I know we understand this from a concept standpoint. However, I'm not so sure that we fully grasp it at a kind of a gut level, like a place that really affects our lives, is that God knows everything. I mean, that's something that you know, my kids get, and they say, like, oh yeah, God knows, God knows, God knows, God knows. But if we look at this and think about God knows, there is absolutely, I mean, look at the way it's worded here. Naked and exposed. Like, there is no way of hiding anything from the Lord. So he knows all of our thoughts. He knows all of our fears. He knows all of our concerns. But see, that's the great thing, is that from that verse, it leads into the next passage where he gives us the invitation to boldly come before him. It's this understanding and this recognition that no matter what is going on, there is an invitation before you. There's so many times where the enemy or our own thoughts will use these fears and this thought that stops me or prevents me from stepping forward into boldness. There's so many times, and I can share countless times where I've seen opportunities to step out and trust the Lord, and I haven't taken them. Like, there have got to be people that I work with that think I'm absolutely nuts. Because these seasons where I feel the boldness of the Lord, people will come in and they'll be like, ah, I'm just not really feeling very good today. I got something's going on with my throat. Well, sit down. Come here. Jesus' name, I bless you, Father. I pray that you would bring healing. You know, somebody comes in like, my knee kind of hurts. Like, oh, Lord, bless them in the name of Jesus. Bring healing to their bodies. Sometimes I don't even ask. They're getting used to that. But then there's those other times where there's that hesitation, because I don't feel the anointing in that moment. People will come in and be like, oh yeah, something happened. I got to go take care of this. I'll be like, okay. And it you can almost sense, like, there's this moment where they're kind of like, is he going to pray? Is he not going to pray? Is he? No? Yes? No? Okay. And some people love it, some people hate it, but whatever. But there are moments in our lives where we either believe a lie, or we just step into this place of passivity where we're no longer boldly declaring the works of the Lord. And I believe that for 2018, watch what he does is a declaration I know is for me. I know is for my family. But I believe it operates on a greater level for this body, for the church, and for the church as a whole, is that we are supposed to be able to declare, watch what he does. So the question then becomes for me is that when I read this in verse 13, it says that nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. He is the one to whom we are accountable. How am I seeing that? Am I looking at this verse with the same eyes as a Moses and a Joshua? Who's able to say, because he knows everything about me and he invites me in, I know that I have a place where I belong in his presence. I know now, when God invites me in, because he knows everything about me, that I'm supposed to boldly go in there. Do you know what it means to be able to boldly go in somewhere? It's not this place where it's... it's not a place where you just go in and you make these demands. That's not what it means to boldly enter into something. When you boldly enter into something, what it means is that you know and you recognize that you are supposed to be there. That you're not walking in hesitantly. You're not walking in like you don't belong in that place, like you're not sure what's going to happen. I've walked into plenty of rooms that way. It's not as much fun. I used to walk into all kinds of meetings where I'd go into conference rooms and I'm like, if I'm quiet, they won't know I'm here. That's not boldly going into anything. Is my life representative of a Moses revelation or an Israelite revelation? See, with Moses, he knew, he understood. God knew everything about him. He understood that when he encountered the burning bush. He understood that when he encountered God and his presence on the mountain. He knew, God knew everything about him, and he spoke to him as a friend. The Israelites, what happened? They see that. They know. There's an understanding there that the Israelites are aware of who God is. There's no question about that. But they look at that and they say, oh no, he knows way, no, that is way too scary for me. I'm going to stay right here in my house, in the threshold of my tent. But what happened? So it says that they fell to their knees. They were in a place of awe, but they weren't in the presence. How many times have we settled? That's the right word. How many times have we settled for being amazed and in awe of God and not encounter him? We were created for encounter. See, being amazed by God, being in awe of God, that gives you the boldness to declare, watch what he does here in this building. Encountering God will embolden you to go out to the world and say, watch what he does. That's the difference. When we encounter God, we have a revelation of who we are. We understand who he is through an encounter, but we also recognize who we are as sons and daughters. I love that. If you look at verse 34 of Exodus, what happens after that is the account it says that his presence goes over Moses, where Moses had to hide in the cleft of the rock. And there's these declarations of who God is. But what is the outcome of that encounter from Moses? He says, I'm not going anywhere without your presence. The moment he encountered the presence, he recognized the value of the presence. The Israelites, they missed that every time because they would stand back and they would settle for just being amazed by God. One of my favorite things in this ministry is the worship. I love it. It's what kept me from running away from this place like 15 plus years ago. What year is this? 2018? Yeah, at least 15 years. I don't know. I came into a retreat. I didn't really know anyone. And the worst, I was like this, I don't know what I was thinking. A weekend retreat away with a bunch of people that I don't know. It's like, this was not smart. And so I went to leave, and the worship started, and something came alive in my spirit. I was like, don't go. I was like, so hear my heart when I say this. Like, I love the worship. Here's the thing, though. If I come to Frontline, and I engage in the worship, and I only allow God to take me to a place where I'm amazed by him versus encountering him through the worship, I've totally missed it. And I've experienced both. And I can tell you it has nothing to do with the worship team. It has nothing to do with the desire of God's heart. It's not like I came in here already and all of a sudden God's like, not today. Not really feeling it. It's about the position of my heart. It's about the revelation that I carry into worship. It's not about the worship. But what am I doing to encounter the presence of God beyond just being amazed? I don't want to settle for just being amazed. So when I had that first encounter, Donuts 1.0, it totally, totally ruined my life. I mean, and I'm not just talking like it sounds spiritual to say it ruined my life. So in that moment, and I have a neighbor who is a physical trainer that works with me, who will testify of this. Before the encounter, I was running a lot, I was eating super healthy, and I was doing weights. Like, I was probably in one of the best shapes of my life. I had that encounter every morning for the next month and a half that I got up to go running. I was just flat on my face. I just couldn't get up. I would go into the family room to like stretch, and I would just be flat on my face. Like, I couldn't get up. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was like, Lord, I don't want to leave this. I don't ever want to leave this. It got to the point where it was affecting my work. Like, I had to figure out, I was crying out, Lord, I have to know how to steward this. I have to figure out how to steward this in a way that goes beyond me just being amazed. But that I'm able to learn how to carry the presence. That's what I love about Joshua. Like, Moses had a calling and a responsibility. He would go into the tent. He would encounter God, but he'd have to leave the tent because he had to leave the Israelites. He had to physically walk away from the presence. Moses, like, a lot of people, and I'm not saying that this is wrong, a lot of people talk about how Moses is supposed to be a depiction of what the relationship with God is supposed to be like in the New Testament. And I believe that's true on many levels. I'm not saying that that's wrong. My point is that Moses still had to walk away from it. He had to walk away in order to do those other things. So at best, he's a very, 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 very good picture of what it could be like to have a relationship with God under the old covenant. And still, that doesn't touch what we are able to have under the new covenant. You know, one of the things that the Lord spoke to me while we were praying the other night, and I may have prayed it out for the Brazil team, the word that just kept hitting my spirit was established. Established. And so I looked it up today. It says to set up on a firm or permanent basis or to achieve permanent acceptance or recognition for. It's permanent. And what I believe the Lord is saying is that he wants us to be established in his presence. This idea that we were created, he knows everything about us. We don't have to hide from it. We don't have to tuck away from it. We don't have to be embarrassed of it. He knows everything. Like, you know, I don't know about you, but I hear naked and exposed. That's intimidating. That's scary. That's embarrassing. To be completely that vulnerable before the Lord. And yet, what does he say in the next couple of verses? I'll read it again. It says, so then, okay? Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. He is the one whom we are accountable. Accountable to God. So then, since we have such a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You know, one of the things that we talk about in the Good or God series is this idea of what grace is. It's an empowerment. So, by that definition, therefore we will receive his mercy and we will find empowerment to help us when we need it most. So when we're completely vulnerable, naked and exposed before the Lord, he empowers us. Do you see the correlation, this idea of that the more vulnerable we're able to be before God is the amount of empowerment he's able to pour into us? The more willing we are to be completely vulnerable before God, don't allow what's happening in your life, don't allow the fears that come against you to prevent you from engaging and encountering the presence of God. Allow those things to be the motivation to get into his presence. Because when I recognize that there is a weakness, there's something that I don't like, that I know is not of the Lord, it's not those things that are exposed. Those aren't intended to make us shy away from the presence of God. They're intended to be our motivation to get into the presence of God and deal with them. You know, that's why Romans is so critical. It says, therefore, there is thou now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you have something that's being brought to your mind, to your heart, to your thoughts, that something is not of the Lord, don't look at it the way the Israelites would. They look at that and say, I'm no good, I don't deserve it. Look at it the way a Moses or a Joshua says, oh, God's bringing this to my attention so that I can get rid of it. It drives me into the presence of God. I had such an interesting conversation with somebody at work recently. This woman that I work with, and just she's like right on the verge of salvation. I mean, we have very, very direct conversations at this point, because I mean it's gotten to the point where I'm like, why are you not saved? Like, I literally ask her that, and mind you, it's not the normal approach. We've had several conversations and ministry opportunities. She knows my heart. but in the last couple of weeks, she goes, I feel like I'm falling backwards. I feel like I'm moving so far away from where I should be moving towards. All of these things started coming against her. And immediately there was this thought of, I'm doing something wrong. But what if we shift the perspective and say, it's not because you're doing something wrong, but what if you're so close to stepping into glory that the enemy's doing everything he can to stop it? How emboldened are you in that moment that you realize that the only reason all this stuff is coming against me is because I'm on the verge of a breakthrough? I'm about to experience something that I've never seen, experienced, or known before. I'm about to step into that Ephesians 3 promise that says it's going to go exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything I think or imagine. It's right, you're right on the precipice of it. What if that is the way we look at it? Then all of a sudden you're no longer shrinking away, but you're taking bigger steps forward. Let's shift that perspective and start boldly coming into the presence of God. Do you need a breakthrough? Do you need a miracle? Do you need something to happen in your life that you've been crying out for the last 5, 10, 20, 30 years? Step boldly into that. If you feel like all of hell is coming against you, family's coming against you, work's falling apart, you need a financial breakthrough, you need a healing, you are on the precipice of a breakthrough. So boldly go into the presence of God and declare to the world, watch what he does. That's what we were created for. That's who we are as sons and daughters. Let's not shy away. There's that place. I keep going back to this because the Lord spoke this one to me this morning. The Israelites, they were okay settling for being in awe. They were okay with being amazed by God's presence and not encountering it because they didn't know the difference. But Moses knew the difference. There is an extreme difference between being amazed by God and encountering God. We were created for the encounter. We were created to carry that presence everywhere we go. So boldly go before the throne room of grace and mercy and allow him to pour out his love. I'm going to take just a minute. I'm going to dismiss pretty early today. I think. God convicted me of that once. He just kept making my mouth go after I said, we're going to get out early. I was like, what? What happened? I want to go back to this word established for a second. He started speaking to me, I think it was late last night. So we had a little prayer time, Cynthia and I, with the Larsons. It sounds super spiritual. It's not something we do regularly. I don't want to make it sound like I'm so holy I do this on a regular basis. So we were praying last night, and as I was praying, that word just started popping up in my spirit. And as normally tends to happen, we prayed, it was really good, and then some people on the phone just decided to start talking, and then they kept talking. And then next thing I know, Cynthia's waking me up on the couch at like midnight. I don't know if it was a dream or a picture or what, because it was one of those weird, fuzzy, in-between reality things. But I started thinking about what is, like, as I saw a picture of something being established. In the sense of, it was almost like, I'm trying to figure out how to describe it. It was almost like this brick platform just kind of came down on top of whatever was there before. And the moment it hit the ground, you could see this, it wasn't like dust, I don't know, coming out from under it. But you realize the moment it hit the ground that it wasn't going anywhere. It was a permanent fixture. It had been established in the ground, in that place. And what the Lord started speaking to me is that we are created to be people. When we walk in the dominion of God, and when we walk in the authority of Christ, we're able to establish his presence in places that can't be moved. And I talked a little bit about this with the mission team, the idea in Revelation where it says that God will open doors that no man can shut, and he'll shut doors that no man can open. He's able to establish his presence. He's able to establish dominion in areas that no man can take away. So he's created us to be establishers of his presence. You know, going back to the example of that coworker, it was one of her first week or two there. She came into my office and she was complaining about her knee. I think I've shared this with you guys before. And she didn't know me that well. She knew I was a Christian because I just hired her, and I said, by the way, I'm leaving for 3 weeks soon. So she knew generally that I was a Christian because I was disappearing. And she came in, she told me about her knee, and I prayed for it. It was a real simple prayer because I didn't have a gauge for where she was spiritually. And you know, you start breaking out tongues on people that have never heard anything like that. It gets a little weird. So it was a very simple prayer. I just said, you know, I really believe that the Lord would want to touch that. So I prayed for it. And she said she didn't feel anything right away. It felt a little weird. But then she was sitting in class because she was taking some night classes at the time. And it just dawned on her. The pain was gone. She goes, I was literally like hitting my knee. Because it dawned on me in the middle of class, there was no pain. Fast forward, this was like 2 or 3 years ago, and she still is almost in tears when she talks about that. Because we were talking about that the other day when she was talking about how she feels like she's fallen back and everything's coming against her. I reminded her of what the Lord's done. And she started talking. She goes, I was thinking about that the other night. I was just thinking about that. I just, what is it about us when we encounter God? We just get so tongue-tied. The English language is just not... Maybe it's better in Portuguese. I don't know. I can't come up with words. Maybe I should read a dictionary or something. I don't have a very extensive vocabulary. Maybe that would help. But I saw where the Lord had established a truth in that moment through that healing. And so I've known her for a few years now, so she's heard the anchor story and all that stuff. If you don't know the anchor story, another time. And so she realized the Lord's desire is to establish something that is concrete, that does not move. And it was through that simple healing of her knee that the Lord had established a truth and reality. Because I heard this saying recently that I love it, and I'm going to butcher it, but it's basically, you can't argue a theology with an encounter. Like, one man's theology argument will never overpower another man's encounter with the Lord. She had an encounter right there that established a truth. The Lord wants us to go into his presence boldly, to establish a truth within us so that we're emboldened to declare to the world, watch what he does. Amen? All right, Lord. It's pretty early, guys. I'm going to make this at least a 3-minute prayer so I can say I took you to 12:30. Father, I'm so grateful for your presence, Lord. I'm so, so, so grateful. You are so good. And Lord, I know that you desire to establish truth. You desire to establish a revelation inside each and every person here, Father. That they recognize, Lord, that although they are naked and exposed before you, that they are ultimately accountable to you, Lord, that you made that available to them, not as a purpose and as a way to drive them away, but as a way to drive them even closer. He already knows everything. You have no reason to hide. When he gives you the invitation to boldly go before his throne, it's after he already knows everything. He already knows every thought, every fear, every hurt, every pain, every judgment. He knows every bit of anger that you carry in towards him. I believe that there are people that are carrying an anger towards God, that you blame God for something. He's aware of that, and still he invites you to come into and encounter his presence. Father, I just break every lie in the name of Jesus that says, because of this weakness, because of this that I carry, because of this that I did wrong, I am not allowed into the presence of God. I break that lie off in Jesus' name, Father, and I pray that you would bring in that new perspective that says, because of these things being exposed, I have to encounter the Lord. I have to engage with God because I recognize that without him, I fall so short of who I can be. Thank you, God, that you establish your revelation of your grace that's available to those so that they would be empowered to boldly go into the world and declare, watch what he does. Father, I pray that every ounce of fear would be melted away, Lord, as people encounter you. Thank you, Lord, that they would never settle for just being in awe of you, that they would never settle for just being amazed by you. But Lord, through that being in awe of you, through that amazement, they would be driven into the presence, into an encounter. And they would recognize who they are as sons and daughters of great inheritance. Thank you, Lord, that would overflow into every part of their life and that they would come expecting a sign, a wonder, a miracle, that they would expect your presence to invade their circumstances. That each and every person here can speak to their circumstances. You can speak to your work. You can speak to your finances. You can speak to your family. You can speak over every promise of God. Watch what he does. Watch what he does. And that we would boldly go into your throne room, expecting an encounter every time, Lord, because that is the desire of your heart. So, Lord, we just bless each and every person that's being called into that place this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey, 12:31. Thank you, Lord. Opportunity, make sure you hug a Brazil member. They're leaving. You'll see him on Tuesday if you come on Tuesday.